Thank you for tuning in to Vine Life with host Janine Davis and special guest John Leinberger, Vice President of Dallas Baptist University. They will discuss John's testimony of what God did with a mess like me.
Good morning. Welcome to Vine Life. I'm your host, Janine Davis, and we're here for part two with John Leinberger of What God Did with a Mess Like Me, 17 Truths to a Changed Life. I'm going to tell you a little bit about John. If you wasn't listening last week, here's a little bio about him. He is an assistant vice president at Dallas Baptist University, directing DBU's northernmost regional academic center and teaching as an adjunct professor. He earned a doctorate degree from the University of Alabama and has been recognized as a leader by several noted business journals. And to find out more about him, you can go to www.johnleinberger.com. But right now, I want to introduce you to Dr. John Leinberger. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Janine.
Welcome back.
Thank you again for having me back on the show.
So we're just going to dive into where we left off, and we were at the point where we were talking about you were getting a fresh start. You had given your life to God. You had rededicated your life to God. You had gone through many trials and tribulations in your youth. Your mother had prayed. You shared with us a very personal letter that your mom wrote for you when you were in your youth. And, you know, we've been thanking God and praising God, you know, for this ministry that you have of reconciliation. And it's a story of redemption. It's a very powerful story, John. So now we're at the point where you've given your life back to God. You had a good friend named Aaron that you trusted, and he went down to the altar with you. So we're going to take off there. And then you told me that you were accepted at the University of Houston.
Houston Baptist University.
Houston Baptist, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take off right there.
All right. So I'd just come off the best semester that I'd ever done in school, making two B's and a C that summer term. And I enrolled that fall of 1998 into Houston Baptist University. And they were on the quarter system at that time. And so at this point, I was going into what should have been my senior year of college. But I only had 29 transferable hours, so I was still classified as a freshman.
Oh.
You know, and at this point, I had a lot of friends that were and had internships and were looking at getting great jobs when they had graduated. And so I still had a little bit of insecurity there, wondering if this was something I could actually do, finish school. So, but I had a lot of hope. I had a lot of cheerleaders in my life, fortunately.
Amen.
My father, my mom, just friends that have encouraged me. But I enrolled that first quarter, and I got a D- average. Mm. And I thought, this is it for me. School's just not for me. I just need to go home and find a job. I don't need to waste any more money on school. My father, however, encouraged me to stay down there and continue to work hard and do my best. And I remember thinking, if I can just maintain a 2.0 in college, I can graduate with a degree. But I knew that school, that I was down in Houston at Houston Baptist University to earn a degree, and socializing is not why I was there. So I needed to cut out a lot of social activities I was involved in. I needed to focus more time on studying. So I began to refocus. There were nights that I would go and spend in a classroom late at night and end up getting kicked out by the security guard because mm-hmm. I would try to find a quiet place mm-hmm. away from the dorms. And before I would study, sometimes I would open up and read scripture just to help focus my mind and help me remember the reason I'm in school is that maybe one day God can use me earning a degree as a platform to share the gospel with others. And so at the end of that second quarter, I made a C+ average. I thought, this is great, you know.
Yeah.
I think I can do this. I continued to work hard, continued to develop as a student. Just because you decide to be a good student doesn't mean you're automatically a good student. You have to work at being a good student. So I continued to work at it, continued to develop disciplines in my life. And my third and final quarter of my first year, I made a 4.0, which is all A's. And I can remember I was driving back home to Dallas. And halfway between Houston and Dallas, I pulled over and called my dad to tell him I made a 4.0. But I don't think he really believed me until I actually got home and showed him that grade report. But, you know, God's continued to bless me far beyond anything that I ever think or deserve. While I was going into my second year at HBU, I realized,
but I'm thinking about Ephesians 3:20. To him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or imagine, according to his power that worketh within us. That's exactly what you experience, and it is phenomenal.
Thank you, Janine. You know, God has been good, and God has been faithful to answer prayers. And it hasn't been about me. It's been about the prayers of my parents, prayers of faithful parents that would be on their knees night after night, praying for their son, and just wondering if God was hearing their prayers, but continued to go to him, just trusting him.
I want to know why you incorporated this scripture. I was looking at it last night. I know why you incorporated, but why don't you just tell the audience what meaning it has for you? It's Matthew 16:25, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it.
You know, there's kind of a misconception for people that think if I become a Christian, I'm going to have to give up a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to give up all the things that I enjoy doing. And truth be told, that prevented me for a while, because I thought, you know, I'm going to have to, you know, I'm living the life right now, which, I mean, waking up with a hangover is not very much fun, you know. Finding yourself in trouble with the law is not very much fun. And so when I began to make that decision to live my life for the Lord, I had to die to my own desires. I had to die to the things that I wanted to do, mm-hmm. personally. And when I did that, I had to take on the desires of the Lord and what he wanted for my life. You know, I've had more fun living my life for the Lord than I ever did living it for myself. And I can't imagine why anybody would want to live for themselves after having been on this side of things.
Yes.
And trusting. It doesn't mean, again, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes all the time. I stumble, I fall. But when we do fall, we have to pick ourselves up.
Yes.
And continue to move forward.
Yes.
You know, in the calling that God has for us. And just continue to surround ourselves with people who will root for us and cheer
yes.
for us. You know, going into my second year down in Houston,
mm-hmm.
I knew I needed a good roommate who would encourage me
mm-hmm.
to be a good student.
Yes.
And so I chose a guy named Ross Shelton. I think the only B I ever knew him to make was the semester that he broke up with his girlfriend, but he was a great influence on me to be a good student. Just an example of the truth that you become like the people that you put yourself around.
Mm-hmm.
When we both graduated from HBU, we received the President's Award from the university and had our names placed side by side on the Walk of Honor. And, you know, I want to share some things with you and your listeners, not so that you can think what a good person John Lineberger is, because if you turn the radio off thinking what a good person John Lineberger is, you've missed the whole point. But I just want to demonstrate what God can do with the life of somebody who was hopeless, with somebody who didn't want to live, with somebody who's made some terrible, costly decisions, with a boy who struggled academically and was even made fun of. By the time that I graduated HBU, I was voted into who's who among American universities and colleges, the National Dean's List. I was a National Collegiate Social Sciences Awards winner, a National Collegiate Education Awards winner, elected to the Psychology National Honor Society, an officer in the Sociology International Honor Society. I was treasurer of Brothers Under Christ and served on the Student Judiciary Board. I was a student senate chaplain and chairman of Husky Leadership Conference. And I missed two homecoming games in high school for poor decisions that I had made. But I was named the 2001 Homecoming King at HBU. You know, and guys just continued to bless my life far beyond anything that I ever deserved. At one point, I never thought that I would graduate from college, but today I have a doctorate degree from the University of Alabama. I've been named one of 40 under 40 by the Dallas Business Journal, one of 21 leaders for the 21st century by the Collin County Business Press. I was named Citizen of the Year in the city of Frisco, the same year Frisco was named the fastest growing city in America according to the U.S. Census Bureau. And I never thought that I deserved to get married because of the way that I treated my girlfriends. I never thought that I deserved to have children. But God's blessed me with a beautiful wife, two beautiful daughters, and a handsome son. And I hope that you don't think that I'm being arrogant by sharing you all this, but I just want to give hope to your listeners that it doesn't matter what you've done, how far down the road of sin you've gone.
Or what you can't do yourself.
Amen. God can redeem.
God can do it.
Restore and renew your life, and you can live a successful life in Christ.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Your story is phenomenal. And for listeners who didn't hear the show last week, I want to tell you that John, he struggled with ADD or ADHD, and he was in remedial classes and content mastery classes, and, you know, he didn't really see college in his vision. He didn't see it on his radar. But God had another plan, John. And as John began to submit, as he began to come out of himself, and come more into Christ and receive salvation and the salvation plan that Jesus has for all of us. When he received that, that plan began to bloom.
Amen.
It began to bloom, and he began to live the life that Jesus wanted him to live.
You know,
and I know that you give God all the glory, and that's one thing that I want this audience to take away from this show, is that you admitted that you could not do it. I mean, you didn't know why you couldn't do it. You wanted to drink it away. You wanted to drug it away. You wanted to woman it away. But you knew something was wrong, and you knew you couldn't fix it. But you knew that Jesus could. And when you made up your mind, when you made the choice and you chose Christ, all these other things unfolded. And I want, you know, people to know, it's not something that you can just say, well, God will do it, and just sit there. This young man worked very, very hard. You have to have faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. But faith is also an action word. You have to do something. You have to get up and work towards whatever goals that you're setting for yourself. And you have to ask God to give you direction. Now, you know, in the book, you talked about wisdom and asking for wisdom. And I want you to share that, because that is just so important. Because sometimes what we think is not what God would think. And the Bible tells us that our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. So would you just talk about wisdom?
You know, I had made so many poor decisions growing up that I felt like I don't have time to make any more bad decisions. I wanted to be wise in the things that I did and the choices that I made. You know, every single night to this day, as we pray as a family, I still pray, God, just give us wisdom. Help us to make good decisions. Give us your wisdom, Lord. Pray this over my children, my family. But, you know, I knew that in myself, I didn't have the power to always do what was right. I needed the Holy Spirit to come live in me. I needed the Holy Spirit to help me make good decisions for my life and what God wanted me to become as a person. And so I would begin to pray and ask God to give me wisdom. And as I prayed for wisdom, I would try to focus on reading things where I could gain wisdom. I would read scripture. I would read good Christian books. You know, there was a time when I was such a poor reader, it would take me 10 minutes to read one page. And many times I couldn't tell you what I had just read. I could read a paragraph five times, and halfway through each time I'd be daydreaming. But I began to ask God, Lord, I know I need to understand scripture. I know I need to know the Bible. Help me to read. Help me to read faster. Help me to understand what I'm reading, Lord. And as I prayed that and worked hard, you know, there was a period of time, even as a believer, that I've two different times, occasions that I've gone through depression, but God's freed me from depression. I haven't struggled with depression in about 9 years, but there was a period of time, and as I was going through that period of depression, I had taken myself off the schedule at work, and I would go to a local pond. I told you I loved to fish last week, and I would alternate between fishing and reading a Bible or reading a good Christian book, and I would just soak up that scripture. And as I began to read, God helped me to read faster. I began to understand Scripture, and the Holy Spirit was speaking through me, through that Scripture. And with a little over 3 months, I had read the entire New Testament in almost a dozen books. Whereas before that point, I'd only read one book my entire life, and that was less than 100 pages. Mm. So as I prayed for God to give me wisdom and work toward gaining wisdom, God began to put wisdom in me.
That's a great word. That's a great word. This is a great ministry. There was one other quote that really struck my spirit, and that was, if you fall forward. Tell us what you meant by that.
Well, you know, Jeannie, I continue to repeat that I'm not perfect. I never have been, nor will I ever be. There are times that I make mistakes as a husband, as a father, as a son, as a supervisor, as an employee. And when we do, there may be time that we have to ask for forgiveness.
Yes.
And we're going to stumble and we're going to fall. But when we fall, we need to make sure that we're falling forward. Because when we fall forward, we can fall on our knees and ask God for forgiveness.
And that's exactly the answer I was looking for. Yeah. Falling forward is falling towards Jesus Christ. And amen.
When you fall forward, it's on your knees. It's a lot easier to get up than if you fall on your backside on your tail.
Yes.
You know, it'll take
you
a little bit longer to get up.
Yes.
So, don't waller. When you stumble and you fall and you make mistakes and you mess up, don't waller around in your mistake and get depressed. That's easy to do.
And we all do it, John.
We do.
We all fall and we all stumble.
And it's easy to beat yourself up over bad decisions. But just remember that God is eager to forgive us, just like he forgave David. And it's easy for me to identify with King David in the Bible, because like him, I've made some horrible decisions. But just like David, when I go to God and repent, sincerely repent before the Lord, he's eagerly waiting on me to forgive me and to restore my life.
Yes. So I'm going to ask you a question. I want to know what the Bible says, that the people perished because they had no vision. And certainly you submitted to Christ's vision for you. But where do you see yourself, John, in 5 years? Let's say 7 years. What will we hear about John Lineberger? What is in your heart in kingdom building and helping prepare the kingdom for Jesus' glorious return? What visions and plans is in your heart right now?
Well, that's a personal question, and maybe not an easy one to answer, especially if my employer's listening to that. But, you know, my DBU's been so good to me. You know, I feel like this whole year, God's been teaching me and my wife contentment and just trusting in him to provide for us, to take care of us, to lead and to guide us. And this may sound like a Sunday school answer, but as a Christian, you'll understand this. The jobs that I've received after submitting my life to Christ, I hate to say God's thrown them in my lap, but that's almost how they've come. God has positioned me and put
favor.
Me where he wants me to be. And I hope that I just continue to be faithful enough to the Lord to continue to make right decisions and also trust in him that he's going to open the doors for me that he wants me to go through, and that he's going to close any doors that he doesn't want me to go through. And there are some times that God leaves maybe several doors open. It's because he trusts us to make the right decision. And those can be humbling and maybe even scarier times when he's trusted us to make those right decisions. But to answer your question more specifically, Jeannine, you know, I just hope that I continue to be working toward being a better father,
amen,
working toward being a better husband,
yes,
working toward being a better employee and being a better boss. You know, the husband I am today, the father I am today, the boss, the employee I am today is not the same husband, father, son, boss, employee that I was 5 years ago.
Amen.
And thank God that it's not.
Yes.
But I pray that God will continue to mature me and mold me, mm-hmm, to where I'm more and more submissive to him, because it's going to get a lot more difficult in the days ahead to to be a believer, to be a Christian who lives out Christian values as they're described to us in the Bible. And so I just pray that God will continue to give me strength, to give me boldness, to give me courage to be that Christian man that He's called me to be.
Yes, and I believe He will, because of His amazing mercy and grace and your amazing ability to fall forward. Audience, I want to say this to you. If you really know someone who needs to be encouraged in the area of academics and is struggling in school, they may go and they can get the information on www.johnlineberger.com. That's LineBerger. Or you can call me or go to my website, www.tavonlifeconnection.com, for the information. I know that this is going to be a blessing for you in the body of Christ. And I think that it just not only applies in academics, John, I think it applies across the board. And I think that's why this book is so relevant, and that your ministry is so relevant. So do you have a mentoring program, John, that you sponsor or mentor other young men at the school that are going through that need extra help? Or
DBU does have a mentoring program that they've recently started for DBU students. I myself have began to mentor a few students outside even of DBU.
Okay.
And I myself am continuing to be mentored by
a
great minister at our church who's been so faithful in pouring his life into me. We all can, as long as we live, we need somebody also to speak truth into us and help be a mentor to all of us.
Yes, and if you go on my website, audience, you'll see a poem that I wrote several years ago. I wrote this poem for my husband, but I wrote it for the body of Christ. I wrote it for myself. It was the Holy Spirit talking to me. And I can't remember all the exact words, but it talks about we are all ministers in love. We are all teachers to pass on His knowledge and wisdom, and that He would give us the wisdom to submit in being a pupil, always learning in His understanding, with His understanding, and not in our understanding. So that's the synopsis of what the Holy Spirit would have me to write for this hour. Well, you know, our show is getting ready to come to an end. John, you know what I'm going to ask you to do? I'm going to ask you to say a prayer for me and my audience and for the body of Christ and for those of you who have not come into the body of Christ. John is going to lead us in prayer.
Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful and thankful, Lord, that You've sent Janine into this world and that You've given her the ministry that she has to reach thousands, if not millions of people, Lord. God, I pray for her that You will continue to use her, Lord, to witness to others. God, I pray that she'll be an effective tool for You, that You'll keep her sharp, Lord, as she's able to minister to people, and You're able to use her to change people's lives, God. Lord, I pray that this show will just work in the lives of people who maybe at this point seem hopeless. They wonder if there's hope for them. They wonder if there's hope for their child that's not living life for You right now, God. Lord, we're just so grateful for Your Son, Jesus, who's come into this world to give us that hope that our lives can be redeemed, that You can use us no matter what we've done in our past. God, that You can take even our ugliest moments and that You can use them for Your glory, Lord. God, I just pray for this world that we will come back to repentance to You, Lord. I pray for the Christians in this world that they will begin to minister and witness and be bold like never before. We thank You for all that You've done. We thank You for Your love for us and that You care for us as individuals. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Audience, this time and next, stay connected to the true vine, which is in Jesus Christ. I am your host, Janine Davis, and we were here today hearing the personal testimony and ministry of Dr. John Lineberger. What God did with a mess with me, with a mess like me, 17 Truths to a Changed Life. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Janine.
Thank you, listeners.
Thank you for listening to Vine Life with host Janine Davis. For more information on today's show, you can go to www.vinelifeconnection.com.